In the UK, we get about 30% of our energy from renewable sources. This number is rising and will help to make a major contribution to reducing the country's carbon footprint. But the problem is that unlike a conventional power station, which we can turn on when we need it, we can't make the wind blow or the sun shine on demand. And when both of these things are happening, we might not actually need the energy that's being produced.
Instead, what's needed is an ability to store energy on a massive scale. And this week, UK scientists have published a report that explores the feasibility of using surplus electricity to compress air into underground rock formations. The idea is that the pressurised gas can then be used later to drive turbines and generate electricity. Stuart Hazeldean is one of the authors.
In the UK, we're accustomed to having electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the past, we've done that by storing energy, by having a great big pile of coal next to a coal-fired power station. And then it's been done for the past 10 or 15 years by having gas pipes coming out of the North Sea gas fields. And when we wanted a bit more gas in the winter to provide heat and electricity, we've basically turned the taps on a bit more and produced more gas. But now our gas production from the North Sea is declining. We're not using coal-fueled power stations anymore because of the carbon dioxide emissions. And we've gone over to building more and more wind power and more solar power. And with wind and with solar power, you cannot control when the electricity comes.
So in essence, we need some kind of energy sponge where we can shove surplus energy during the good times so we have a supply for the bad times.
That's right. And the good times and the bad times we're thinking about are particularly the difference between summer and winter. We're thinking about storing energy for months at a time.
And the mechanism of that storage, what do you have in mind?
Well, it's well known that the storage is available for very short timescales with batteries for minutes and seconds. You can also do storage for hours and days with pumping water uphill. We're thinking of using the surplus extra electricity from when it's a very windy day or a very sunny day. We turn that into driving a compressor, compress air, put that down a borehole, and that compressed air spreads out into porous sandstone deep beneath the seabed. So it's filling up like a rigid sponge by compressing more and more air into it.
And then how do you get the energy back from the gas you've compressed underground?
We basically release the valve and the trapped gas under pressure in that rock expands back out up the borehole and can then turn a turbine, and turning the turbine generates electricity in a conventional way.
Now, how much energy do you think that we can store?
We've looked at how much sandstone and how much microscopic pore space there is all around the UK. So what we're looking at is storing a very large amount of energy, and it's equivalent to all of the electricity supply for the UK for about 6 weeks at a winter rate of usage. So that's a huge amount of energy, equivalent to like 10 or 20 coal-fueled power stations running at the time. But of course, this would be much, much, much cleaner energy.
In terms of practical application, though, yes, you could store all that gas, but what about all the infrastructure needed in order to liberate that energy and get it back into a useful form, electricity, that can then be brought ashore? Wouldn't that take enormous amounts of infrastructure to do that?
Well, you're right in that there'll be compressors needed offshore. We think, though, the smartest place to use this is around the large existing wind farms and the future wind farms which are being built offshore of the UK. So if we develop the storage underneath these wind farms, we minimise the transport distance for the compressed air. It just goes straight down the boreholes, which we can reuse existing boreholes in many cases, but we've also priced in the cost of drilling new boreholes. And so we put the air down there, we bring the air back up, generate the electricity, and we use the existing wires from the wind farm to bring the electricity into the national grid.
Are there any geological consequences to doing this? Because people will worry, because we've seen connections between people doing deep injections for fracking, for example, and subsequent seismic outcomes. Could the same thing happen under the North Sea?
I think that's a good question, and that's one of the reasons for going offshore, in that there's if we create small tremors with this activity, then people will not be very worried about those because nobody's living on top. There's no damage to property, but importantly, no damage to the site either. We know offshore there are small earth tremors all the time. and we know what amounts of rock stress triggers that. So we know how much pressure we can put in till the rock starts to move and how much pressure we can take out until the rock starts to move. The mechanics of the rock's known quite well, so we can control that.
And obviously, the world is bigger than just the UK. Could other people also exploit this?
Well, one of the great things about this is that the principles of what we're outlining here around the UK could be transferred and applied anywhere. That there are thick sandstones has the opportunity to do this. So it's a very, very portable type of approach.
It's fascinating, isn't it? The downside, of course, is the cost. And so when I asked Stuart about that, he told me actually, Katie, that it's going to be about four times the price of what we currently pay per unit of electricity. But obviously, what isn't paying the price is the planet. So we have to decide what the balance of the equation is in terms of emissions and safeguarding the future versus actually clean energy. Very interesting one to watch, definitely. The study we were discussing has been published in the journal Nature Energy this week.